Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 14 for September 8th, 2007. Joan Blades of Moms Rising. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. Jumping Monkeys, our unlucky 13th episode, is finally here.
I got an unlucky story for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm Megan Maroney, by the way.
I'm Leo Laporte.
But you know that, right?
Your picture's on the GD album art.
Yeah.
Do you like your picture now?
I liked it before. I didn't have a problem
you
with it.
You looked swarthy before.
Okay, that's what you say.
You looked like a gypsy. But now you look like you.
Yeah, well, thanks. Do you want to hear what an unlucky week I had?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm walking to the gym, I'm running out the door, Annabella's with me, and
Do you take her to the gym?
Not normally, like they have the little kids area, and she wanted to go, so I was like, sweet. Okay. Because Marco was home with the boys, and it makes things easier for him,
And she likes to pump iron.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I have my iPod, because I don't know if I can really listen to it while she's there, because they might call me if, you know, she has to go to the bathroom.
I can't tell you how many times I've been in group exercise classes at that very gym.
Yeah.
And the lady comes in and says, "Is Joan here? Joan, your kid is dying. Trauma."
Yeah. Or if it is Megan here, your child just bit someone again.
Again.
We don't take them in there anymore. They're hazards, the boys. Although they're not biting anymore. But that's not my story. So my story is I throw my iPod in my gym bag, and then Annabella has her water bottle, and you know where this is going, don't you? And she's like, "I don't want to hold this anymore." So I don't know what was wrong with me, but I shoved it in the same pocket, and I get to the gym, I drop her off, and I, like, my gym bag is made of, like, this space age material, so the water doesn't soak out. It's just sitting. I open up my bag, and it's sitting in a pool of water, floating my beautiful red iPod.
Oh, you have a red one?
Yes. And so, you know, I did the thing.
You know, the good thing about the red one, you can call Bono.
Really?
And he'll give you
give
a new
me another one?
One?
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
Some African child will have to go without a meal for a couple of years, but you'll get a new iPod.
Yeah. So the worst part of the story is
did you dry it out?
I did the thing that you're absolutely not supposed to do, which turn it on. And then, you know, I let it. And then I turned it on. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, I'm like, it must work now. I'll turn it on again.
No.
And I don't even know if that's the worst part of the story. I think the worst part of the story is, do you remember I did this same thing with my PowerBook like 3 years ago? I spilled a whole cup of water on it and then tried to turn it on.
Because you have kids.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Annabella was handing me the glass of water. So, yeah, it's dead and I'm sad.
Kids and consumer electronics don't go together.
No, they don't.
But that's all right. They'll be grown up.
Yeah.
They don't go with carpets either. And we're about ready to get new carpets after 13 years of kids.
So, yeah, I have to use that old iPod you gave us. Remember you gave us an iPod?
Well, there's new iPods out, so you're in luck. You can get one of the new iPods.
Yeah.
Now, I should say we're recording this before the new iPods come out.
Right.
So if there aren't new iPods, my bad.
Was that a rumor? I heard that was true.
Wednesday, September 5th. Yeah. So we're recording this actually before September 5th.
Right.
But Wednesday, September 5th, Apple's having a big event. I'm going to make a prediction. And now this is never before done in television or radio or podcasting, where somebody makes a prediction that the people who are listening can actually assess the accuracy of the prediction immediately. Mm-hmm. No waiting. So because by the time this airs, people will have already heard, because it'll just have been 3 days ago. But we're recording this before. Again, I want to tell you before. See, so I have no way of knowing.
Right.
There's nothing up my sleeves. But they have Moscone Center.
Mm-hmm.
They got the big Moscone West, which is where Steve Jobs has his big keynotes. This is a big venue, like 1,500 people, 2,000 people. So I'm thinking this is a big event. This isn't some little piddly iPod announcement. I'm thinking Paul and Ringo.
Ooh.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Beatles iPod. They're going to announce the name of the thing as the beat goes on. So that's an obvious, right? Mm. They're going to have the Beatles music. John Lennon music, Paul McCartney music, and Ringo music have all been added to the iTunes store. They just added Ringo. So that's obvious. The Beatles music is next. But I'm thinking McCartney's got a new album. Ringo, you know, he's just Ringo. He's available.
So
Ringo's
what's going to be special about the iPod? It's going to be like, have pictures?
Well, I don't know. You know, we started this rumor ages ago. Merlin Mann started this rumor ages ago that there would be like a Yellow Submarine iPod. But here's my thinking. What is this the 40th anniversary of? The Summer of Love.
Oh, yeah.
1967, Sgt. Pepper came out.
Mm.
I think a Sgt. Pepper Summer of Love iPod.
Oh, yeah.
Would be a very good product.
Yeah.
So, good news.
Yeah. How much do you think it's going to cost?
Oh,
for 8 gig?
$5. Nothing. Now, the thing that no one knows, and by now you know, dear listener, but we don't know, is that will it be like the iPhone?
Right. Oh, yeah.
I think it will.
I don't want a phone. I just want an iPod that I can run with.
But you'll have this great touch
thing,
and it'll be even more sensitive to water, liquids, and dropping.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I need. Or just to be smarter about things.
Who's our guest today?
Today, our guest is Joan Blades, who, she has been called the mother of cyberspace. And
what?
Also, she has been called the mother of cyberspace.
Well,
you thought that was me, didn't you?
But, yeah.
And the Joan of Arc of high tech, also been called.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, she started Berkeley Systems with her husband, and they, of course,
flying toasters, the first
After Dark screensaver.
Yep, love that.
And the You Don't Know Jack game.
I forgot about that. Yeah, the trivia game. That was fun.
Yeah. And so they took, you know, they sold the company and they started MoveOn.org, I think, a little while later, which I think is great. It's a political organization. And then just recently, just last year, they started Moms Rising, which is another political organization, sort of, you know, just to help, I'm sure explain all of the in detail.
But it's nonpartisan. It's to support moms.
Moms, yeah. Healthcare for kids and, you know, after school programs and better family leave, paid family leave.
I haven't talked to Joan since Berkeley Systems days. So I'm looking forward to catching up with her.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really excited that she agreed to talk. She's really busy, so I feel very honored that she came to talk to our little podcast.
Our tiny little podcast, which now has a phone number.
Oh, yeah.
We'd like you to call because we want to start, you know, we're doing mail, but we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to play back your voice on this podcast.
Yeah.
So leave us a message. The number is, ready? Got a pencil? We'll say it again at the end of the podcast. 707-981-4206. Don't worry, I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to go, what? What do you want?
We were going to put his cell phone number on there.
Yeah, but I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah. But yeah, you want to say the number again?
707-981-4602. You can leave a message, and we may play your message on the show.
Yeah. You can always also email me if you don't like the sound of your voice or something. It's megan@twit.tv. But yeah, we really want to hear your voices and, input.
Yeah, and if you're real techly savvy, you can record your voice and mail it to us.
Yeah, you can do that, too.
You can also do that if you want a higher quality recording.
Right. If you want to sing us a song and you need, a few tries or something.
I like that idea.
Yeah, if you have tips for the show, if you want feedback, good or bad, or, suggestions, or if you just want...
We love hearing from you.
If you just want to, vent.
I think that the thing that sustains us as netcasters is not the vast sums of money we make.
And they are vast.
That's not a bad thing. No, but it's the email and the response we get. I know that's true for Dick and for Cammie and Munchcast and for you too, that it's just really a neat community that builds up around these netcasts. And that really is fun.
We're paid in your love.
Yeah. Yeah, your love pays us.
Yeah, and we'll play them on the show. If the shorter they are, the more likely they'll
No 5-minute messages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're trying to keep to a schedule here, people.
We're trying to keep it under an hour is what we're trying to do.
Yeah. So should we start our links?
We better do spend, save, give.
Yeah. Okay. Spend, save, give. We do this every week at the beginning of the show. One way to spend your hard-earned money, one way to save your hard-earned money, and one way to give it away to the community or beyond.
To give back.
And this was a suggestion from Jennifer Turnbull, who listens to the podcast, and it's called Tadpole Kids iPod Case.
See, if you'd had this, wouldn't have mattered if you spilled.
Right, but I probably wouldn't have had that because this is for kids. It's got a little handle. It's rubber. I'm sure there are a lot of them, but really great. Like if your kids are listening to your iPod or if they have their own iPods, then it's a great little case. If it's different sized iPods, and it's just much easier for them to use and not really mess it up or drop it, I think, as easily.
It's got handles, which kids want.
Bright colors.
And the truth is, you know, an iPod is really a better choice because it's got more music than these little cheesy kid players. And if you took good care of it, if it weren't going to get broken.
Right.
So they have one with and without screen protection for the littlest ones.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely thank Jennifer for that suggestion.
It's called the Tadpole from IFROGS.
Z.
Z.
G-Z. IFROGS. Frogs.
Frogs.com. iFrogs. Did they make other cases? This is very cool.
They do.
Make Your Case is the name of the site. Get it? Make Your Case. Don't they do a bunch of colorful stuff?
Yeah, bright colors.
Neato.
Cases. Yeah, if I had had one of those cases, those are not for kids.
Any of this.
That would have been much. That's what I'm going to get for my new Sgt. Pepper iPod I'm getting next week.
This, you don't even need it because this looks like a Sgt. Pepper iPod in this case. It does. That's really cool.
Save. This is makestuff.com, make-stuff.com. This is a really cool site for places to find stuff to make out of your own garbage.
That's the ultimate recycling.
Yeah. It's just different crafts. We really, you know, because we end up with like a million gallon bottles of milk. And this just shows different things you can make, doorstops, different things like that. And most of the links on the site are free for anyone, but some are, you can also become a premier member, and but most of them you can get access. So,
boy, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's like a recycled section, you know, where you can use your trash. And also just different things you can make out of all kinds of stuff.
This is kind of neat. Here's a, you could take a spoon and put a kiss in it, and then for like a dinner party. Called A Spoonful of Kisses.
Yeah, we've talked about, you were going to make something for Jennifer. Did you ever end up doing
it's
that?
It's her birthday in 2 days.
You were going to make her a pop-up fast. Picture.
Oh, yeah, the love pop-up.
You haven't done that yet?
No.
Get on that, or make one of that spoon that you just
I'll give
saw.
Her a spoon with a kiss in it. Oh, yeah. That'll woo her. That'll wow her.
All right, now the give. This was a suggestion from Jean-Paul, and he wrote in to tell us about this contest that the March of Dimes is doing. Yeah, the March of Dimes fights to help babies from premature birth, and Jean-Paul has a special story about his daughter who was born early, so he's definitely going to make one of these videos. You tell your baby's story, or basically it's, you know, one of those things where they're asking the world at large to create a commercial, but this is a public service announcement. About the importance of giving your child the best start in life.
And
you could win $5,000 if you win.
That's a lot of dimes.
Yeah. So marchofdimes.com.
This is one of the oldest charities around. I mean, dimes. You know? I mean.
Yeah. Back when a dime would do something.
That was when a dime meant something.
Yeah.
But they're still around, which is neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. marchofdimes.com.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All righty, let's move on to our book pick of the week.
Before we get to Joan Blades, which we will in a moment, we want to remind you that this show is sponsored by the good folks at audible.com, audible.com/monkeys. You can get a credit toward a free book. In this case, I think one of the greatest books of all time.
I Tales love of the Fourth Grade Nothing.
Yes, Judy Blume, I love.
Yeah, Judy Blume is great, and I just thought I would start with the earliest one that I can remember. Actually, I don't remember if I read this or Freckle Juice first, but just a great book for...
They have a lot of Judy Blume books.
They do, yeah.
That's really neat, and she reads them.
Yeah.
I've always wondered what Judy Blume... Should we hear a little bit what Judy Blume sounds like reading her own book? This is Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. Now, a fourth grader would like this, but a third grader would like it even more.
Right, exactly.
It goes backwards. Mm-hmm. It's aspirational is the technical term.
Maybe even a second grader.
Aspirational fiction. This is exactly what I thought she'd sound like. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not recording this. Aw. I love... that story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
And that was fun to read out loud.
Yeah.
But this is another way to do it. You know, it doesn't mean you don't read out loud to your kids, but there's a lot of times when you can't or you're too busy to read out loud, and this is a great way for them to listen to books.
There are so many books. And what we said last week was that you could, you know, read it out loud and also listen to it.
Right. Well, I'll give you an example. I'm reading Harry Potter to Henry, the new book, but he's also listening when I'm too tired or whatever, and he wants to do more.
Yeah.
It's great. It's kind of great.
Yeah.
Except when he says, you know, Jim Dale. I can live with that. He's right. Audible.com/monkeys. 35,000 books 35,000 books to choose from. Everything you could ever want. Kids' books, fiction, nonfiction. It's a great way when you don't have time or the ability to hold on to a book, to read a book, to listen is just wonderful. Just wonderful. Hundreds of different devices, too. Not just your iPods, but also a lot of different MP3 players, even on your computer or burn to CD. AUDIBLE.com/monkeys. We thank them for their support. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's travel to Berkeley.
Yeah. Let's talk to Joan Blades, who we said earlier in the show, she started Berkeley Systems with her husband. They did the After Dark screensaver and also the game You Don't Know Jack. And then they started Move On, the political organization online after the Clinton scandal. And it's a great site, really popular. And also Moms Rising, which is a wonderful organization, which they started last year, which really lets all moms get involved in the political process in any way that they find time to. So thanks for coming on, Joan.
You were just starting to say we went that way back at Berkeley Systems, and I missed what we did.
I was on Tech TV and interviewed you, I think, on Tech TV, and I certainly interviewed on my radio show. Dvorak and I did a radio show in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've just interviewed a number of times. But certainly I've been aware of you for ages. And you obviously completely forgot ever having to do with anything to do with me. But that's okay.
No, that's not the case. I am a name idiot. But
no,
I actually
I am
do.
Too. I am too.
Unusually, I actually do remember.
You're okay. Unforgettable, Leo.
No, yes. I don't know if that's true.
Well, it's a good name. It's got a name that has alliteration.
Alliteration's always good. But Joan Blades is a good name, too. But anyway, I've been very pleased to see after Berkeley Systems to see Move On and all that stuff. That's so great.
It's been an adventure. And it's been something we had no plan to do. It's one of those things where you go, how did that happen?
You didn't expect, well, was it just kind of a thing that you just started a website and then boom?
Well, what happened is we were midway in the impeachment scandal and Wes and I are looking at each other here. We're at a restaurant, in fact, hearing yet another group of people talking about this is insane. And we're business people, right? And we know there's a huge opportunity cost to our government being obsessed with a sex scandal.
Right.
And our media being obsessed with a sex scandal. And that maybe there's something more constructive they should be doing. Though I admit this current administration, I'd rather obsessed with the sex scandal.
Yeah, let's
done.
Impeach them.
But so we did a one-sentence petition. Congress must immediately censure the Congress, censure the president, and move on to pressing issues facing them.
Yeah.
That was it.
I remember that.
That started us.
And that was I thought that was a very bipartisan, a kind of, middle of the road, reasonable thing to say, censure him, but move on.
And we had Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Green Party, you name it. Most Americans could agree with that.
Right.
And I'm a mediator by training.
And that's interesting.
In many ways, that's what brought me back to the Moms Rising piece. Move On is this great voice for progressives. But it's, we need to make sure that everybody starts to understand that they are progressives.
Uh-huh.
And so it's, the GOP is
anti-family.
But they've had a tendency to act as though we're out on the far left, which is just kind of an interesting fantasy. But there's still half the population that's not voting that should be, and so we need to kind of go to the kitchen table issues and say, okay, there are a lot of people really turned off by the polarization. How can we bring people in a way that really speaks to them?
So you're not saying that being family friendly or pro-family is a left or a right issue?
I'm saying it's not left or right. If you think about it, you may not be a mother, but you've had or have one.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a universal.
Right.
So when did Moms Rising start?
Mother's Day last year.
Oh. And you guys have had phenomenal response.
And it's attracting just amazing women to help out. It's just been an adventure.
So what are the issues that you're taking on with Moms Rising? I see on the front page right now the toxic crayons, the toxic toys from China are a big issue for you.
Yes. Well, the Motherhood Manifesto is something I wrote with Kristen, my co-founder. And fundamentally, the concept came up when I read that it's not that there's a large wage gap between men and women anymore. There's a huge wage gap between men and mothers. And that wage gap is about 27%
wow.
difference. And if you're a single mother, it's about 40.
Oh, my now, goodness.
Why do you think there's so many women and children in poverty?
Yeah.
It's just, and I thought about that and said, okay, well, why is this? And it's that we have a whole system that creates this bias against moms. You know, most women now need to work, but we still have work expectations that are set in the 50s, where there was an assumption that someone was home doing caretaking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's simply not the case in most families with children. And what you need is, and what we did is we used the word mother, because you're never supposed to, when you're doing politics, you're never supposed to have more than three things you have to communicate. There are a lot more than three things. So I said, okay, let's go for an acronym. So M, maternity, paternity leave. In the world, out of 173 countries, there are four that have no paid leave for new mothers. That would be Papua New Guinea, Swaziland, Liberia, and the United States of America.
Wow.
I mean, just putting my head, I had no idea.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what is this about? Well, fact is, mothers need to work, they're doing it to have a roof over the head, to feed their children. You know, most mothers need to work. And so you have mothers going back to work weeks after giving birth to a child. Now, in other countries, there's, you know, an understanding that this is really bad for the children, for the mothers, for the families. Our mortality rate, small children, World Health Organization, we're 37th worldwide. Mm. Okay, now, worldwide out of 173, that doesn't put us on the bottom. But when you consider we pay more per capita for health care than any other nation in the world, that's just jaw-dropping. We're not in the top 20. We're not, you know. But one of the pieces of that equation is we don't have paid leave for new mothers.
Mm. Huge societal cost. Huge cost to us.
Huge cost. So and one of the petitions we sent out and just yesterday, or actually it's not a petition, it's a breastfeeding support. Because what's happening.
That was a crazy story. That woman was taking her medical exam, license exam, and they wouldn't let her pump during the exam.
That's right.
That's insane.
You'd think a doctor would be a little more enlightened about something like that.
Well, she has supporters. But the folks that are administering the exam won't do it.
Yeah. Well, you could cheat because you could have the answers in your breast pump.
Who knows? Yeah, you know, they hate making exceptions.
Right, right, right.
But it's damaging. It's, you know, women end up in the hospital because, you know, they get mastitis and they lose their milk. And then, you know, that has an impact on their child's health for years and years to come.
And you can bet they wouldn't say to a diabetic, you can't take your insulin. I mean, that just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
So I want to get through the acronyms. So that's M.
That's M.
Okay. Oh, maternity and paternity.
But you'll notice we also touched health, H, okay. As we were talking about
clever.
M. Because all this stuff is so interwoven.
Right.
You can't.
Right.
Okay. Next one's open, flexible work. People need to be able to take care of their family business. And after you've had a child, then you need to, you know, you are home for some period of time, hopefully. And if you need to work, you need to also be able to take care of your kid. Now, open, flexible work means many things. It means that there are more and more companies, actually, that are finding that results-oriented workplaces are good for the company and good for the employees, which means that employees control their own time. It can mean that you're just flexible in terms of letting someone take off a year or two and come back into the workplace and not be forever banned from reaching the top level of your profession. Because, you know, we have this linear work expectation in some fields, and it means that if you have a child, you're out forever. University of California looked at the fact that there were more women graduating than with PhDs than men, but the tenure track was far more male than female. And they looked at it and they saw that it was directly correlated with having babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a good friend who's on the tenure track, and she said they get 1 year extension. They don't get a year off, but they can extend it 1 year, but that's it. If they have another kid, they don't get anything.
Yeah, and you can bet they kind of look down their nose at you even with that 1 year.
Yeah.
But you know what? That extension makes a huge difference. Men and women can take it. They didn't have that before they looked at it. If you look at this and you think about it, you go, oh, we can actually deal with it. So they're trying to deal with it. See, you're looking at it saying it's not enough. That's a huge improvement. Mm-hmm. but and California is the one state in the union that has paid maternity leave.
Yeah.
We have paid maternity leave here. Moms Rising actually helped Washington State pass a law, so they are going to have paid maternity leave, which is wonderful. Now, if you compare this to Canada's paid maternity leave, 6 weeks versus 1 year, it's still not ideal, mm-hmm. but it's a vast improvement. You know, one of the stories in the Motherhood Manifesto book is about a mom that went back to work days after giving birth. It happens because in her case, her kid was premature and she'd figured out she could take 1 month off, and she wasn't about to take that time off without having her baby in her arms. But it was so painful. Yeah, poor woman, was back at work days after having had her baby, visiting it in the morning, visiting it at night. But open, flexible work, lots of opportunity for making work more family friendly through making work itself more flexible. Part-time should be more available. But right now, if you're part-time, you're probably going to get paid substantially less per hour. Not just less because it's fewer hours, you get paid less per hour. Plus, your career is often forever diminished, which is just unnecessary in the extreme. We can do it differently than that. T is for TV and other after-school programs. We've got 40,000 kindergartners home alone after school. Now, if you know anything about kindergartners, these are people that still believe in the tooth fairy.
That's so young.
It's so young.
Unbelievable.
But it's not because parents want to leave kids home alone.
Yeah, I understand.
They have to work, and there aren't programs there, so they'll say, go home, lock the door, watch TV. So you want parents to have programs first and foremost. And when they do have to have TV, you want them to at least be able to make sure the TV their kids are watching is not damaging to them.
Yeah.
So there are 14 million kids unsupervised after school. And many will tell you that, in the teenage years, it's as important, if not more important, to have programs. Makes huge difference. They've got studies that show you actually save money if you have after school programs because the kids do better in school. They're less likely to get in trouble. Yeah, all these really positive repercussions. And yet somehow we haven't figured out how to make that investment. So in the long run, we're way far ahead. H is healthcare. That's just a no-brainer. Providing children with healthcare is obviously the only right thing to do. Also, another case where it's much less expensive if you provide kids with preventative care. We would save money if we did this. Yet I'm working on different projects right now. SCHIP, trying to, restore the full funding plus for SCHIP because we have more and more kids that are uninsured because of a whole host of issues, the cost of health care, the fact that many families aren't doing so well. And the administration has just written rules that make it harder for the states to provide, certain states that have high cost of living, to provide insurance for children. So, you know, we got it through, you know, the legislative part. And now at the rulemaking fronts, they're undermining the state's capacity. There's also, you know, talk of a veto, which I find, hard to comprehend how you could do that. So that's healthcare. E, excellent childcare. You know, this stuff is so obvious, yet we're not doing it. We, childcare providers are some of the lowest paid workers in our country. So there's high turnover, not a lot of training in many cases, and a very poor teacher-student ratio also very often, because it's too expensive for parents. It, you know, costs as much as $10,000 a year, and if you're not a high-wage worker, that's huge. And at the same time, it's not providing the child care providers, who are often just these spectacularly giving people, with what they need. So, you know, when they get a better job offer, they need to take it, because they may have a family too. I mean, the depth of this, and you can see how all this is once again interwoven with, you know, the healthcare and the job flexibility and all parts and pieces. And finally, realistic and fair wages. The fact that mothers are making substantially less than non-mothers is quintessentially unfair. Shelley Carrell did, and it starts with employment. Shelley Carrell did a study last year that showed, equally qualified applicant mom is 79% less likely to be offered the job, and also offered less for the same job. So this bias against mothers is profound.
Some of the things you talk about are political, and you wonder, I mean, it seems so obvious, why it's so difficult to get those things done. And then some of them are cultural. I mean, so there's two different areas that need to be acted on. What are your suggestions for handling these different agendas? It's tough to change culture, obviously.
I think we need to have millions and millions of members helping leadership understand how important these issues are. Because
I think almost the legislative agenda seems like that would be easier, frankly, to accomplish. I mean, that's just votes.
I'm not sure which is easier. Culture change is hard, but, you know, to create the support for legislative change, you need the culture change. So it's
true. There's so many moms out there. If all the moms just would stand up and say, okay, this is it, seems like we get something done here.
Well, you know, so many moms are so busy, and they had no idea. I had no idea. It didn't occur to me that we would be discriminating against mothers in this way. You know, it doesn't make sense, you know, emotionally, to be discriminating against moms. When you start thinking about all the factors that lead to this, then it becomes very understandable. But it's a combination of creating that understanding that this isn't just our personal problem, because so many of us think, oh, well, you know, I'm just not doing this well enough, and assume that it's our own personal problem.
Right.
Yeah, it's difficult for moms to organize. I mean, in the past, you know, before Moms Rising, I don't think there was a large group of moms that were organized in this way, because we're, you know, the way our culture is now, we're home alone taking care of our children. It does seem like it's our own problem.
It often feels, but you know, there are some great groups. Moms Rising also has all these wonderful aligned organizations, many of them mothers organizations, child's advocacy. And I'll always remember, you know, with Move On, one of the first notes we got back was from a single mom who said, you know, I come home, I get my kid dinner, I help him with homework, and I don't have time to do politics. Thank you so much. This I can do. She could sign a petition and send it on. And then, you know, the other Move On members help make her statement, along with everyone else, it's that much more powerful. So that's you know, what Moms Rising aspires to do, to allow everybody to participate at the level they're able to, because we understand how hard it is. And, but together, it's really awesome what we can do.
And, you know, if mothers groups all got this DVD and showed it, I think that there'd be some real, really galvanized people into action here. You've got the Motherhood Manifesto DVD, the book. DVD's very affordable, by the way, $10, or you can get five copies for $20 to pass them around. The book's just $12, and there's also a combo pack.
I have the DVD. Yes. I've watched it.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten the nerve up to and have a house party yet, but...
Well, you better do that.
Well, you can just watch it with a couple close friends.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Work your way up. I think you know, it's really, this is one of the things the web really does well is allows, and you see, you saw this with Move On, I'm sure, allows something like this to get out there, to get, to spread the word, to find people all over the world, but particularly in the United States to see this and to take action.
Yes. And and the DVD is because, you know, you want to do the in-person thing.
Right,
you want to
right.
sit around together. And one of the cool things about this, and on the DVD jacket, it's, you know, one of the quotes we use is someone says, you know, my mom and I decided we weren't going to talk politics, you know, years and years ago. We actually watched this together and we found we had a lot in common.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
It's exciting. It's really, that's what we have to do, you know, as a society is, you know, frankly, start connecting the fact that we've got a lot more in common
right.
than we have that separates us.
So what should people who don't know a lot about politics, as, you know, the next year comes on, what should they be listening to in candidates? What should they be listening for to help choose a candidate that's more family friendly?
Well, we're going to be doing our best to have the candidates speaking to these issues. The motherhood. Well,
that's a good start. Say, tell us where you stand on this.
Exactly. You know, you can ask, do you support paid leave for new parents?
Yeah.
You know, we want that. We need that. And how are we going to make sure that all kids are covered? How are we going to have after school programs available for all kids that want them and need them? And it's not rocket science. We just need to, as a society, commit to providing, you know, families what they need to take care of kids. Because, frankly, if we don't figure this out in, you know, 18, 20 years, the engine of our economy is not going to be in great shape because we won't have invested in this generation that's right. coming up right now.
Yeah, we're facing a whole set of new challenges as the economy changes. This is the time to do it. Is Moms Rising taking a stand? Are you endorsing a candidate, or are you going to try to stay nonpartisan in this?
You know, we are nonpartisan. We are telling every candidate these issues affect all of us, and we need you speaking to them.
Because there's at least one mother running.
There is indeed at least one mother running, but there. Everybody there, like I said, has a mother or had a mother.
Yeah.
So, but
and
so
it's
when we showed the documentary in Washington, D.C., we had Senators Clinton, Obama, Dodd, and Kennedy all sponsoring that event,
neat.
Which was just wonderful. And I think it's, you know, to be able to say we are all on the same page here is important. And unfortunately, it was September, so too close to election time. So we were unable to make it bipartisan with that particular showing. I hope it's bipartisan someday very soon.
You can also, I found that on YouTube the other day. You can see Hillary Clinton's introduction or her speech on YouTube.
Oh, neat. Mm-hmm. Oh, neat. But not the DVD. The DVD does show on PBS stations from time to time.
It does from time to time, and we are working to make it downloadable because, bottom line, we want people to see it.
That would be great, yeah.
That is the objective, and it's even broken up so you can watch it by chapter if you don't want to spend the full 45 minutes or hour.
Right. That's a great way. That's a great idea. Find out more. They even sell coffee, Moms Rising Coffee, and a T-shirt with that great – I just love the logo. It's the – Rosie the Riveter with a baby in her arm. And I just love it. I think it's so great.
Thank you.
Yeah. MomsRising.org. O-R-G. And Joan, we're so glad to talk to you. And I want to thank you for all the great work you've done over the years Not just with Moms Rising, but with Berkeley Systems, of course, creating the After Dark screensaver, and with MoveOn.org, which made a big difference, I think, in the last 4 or 5 years.
It's 8 years. Amazing group. Yeah. It's an amazing group of members.
Yeah.
You know, with such good people participating, you really just have to be inspired.
I suppose we should ask you, are you a mom?
I am.
Right. Your kids are teenagers, right?
Well, actually, one's not. One's still cuddly, which is very nice.
Yeah.
The teenage ones are less cuddly, I'm afraid.
I figured out now that it's all biology. They're making you push them out of the nest. They're daring you to. I have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old. It's funny. As soon as he hit 13, it was just something different happened. Wow. I've had to start lifting weights to keep up.
Yeah, you're going to have to lift a lot of weights to get
there. Oh, Joan, it's great talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I hope we talk again.
That's Joan Blades. Good to reconnect with her. She's obviously been very busy. Hard-working woman.
Yeah, it's totally inspiring. It's nice to see people in the tech world really use their power for good.
Yeah, and she is kind of a leader, I would say. I mean, I think a lot of people, because she's been doing this for so long, since the beginning, really, of the personal computer revolution, people really look up to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a neat, she and Wes, just really a neat story.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, we should wrap this up maybe with some letters from our fine listeners.
Well, I have some more links. Do you think
you have more links?
I do.
A link extravaganza, ladies and gentlemen.
Do we have time?
Yeah, we got time.
Okay.
No. We always have time.
We talked a little bit with Joan about the lead in toys, the lead toy recall, all over the news.
Oh, these crayons, these Imaginarium crayons, for example.
Yeah,
I think those are okay.
Right. Yeah, I think the crayons were okay. I think it was the boxes.
It was the box.
I think so. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. But
Polly Pockets. What's wrong with Polly Pockets?
But I was reading an interesting story that was sent to me by a listener about actually disposing of these toys, because what's interesting is people really, they don't really know what to do. Okay, I send it back. Well, what if I don't feel like getting another toy? Can I just throw it away? And actually, it's pretty dangerous if you just throw it away.
Oh, you can't just throw it away.
Yeah, then the lead gets in the trash and ends up in the water system. So I think, this is a little story on Yahoo that it was really interesting, good read about, what you can do and how this really is a big problem.
Do companies set up places to bring them?
Do? You mail them back, bring them to the company.
Some
Walmart, I think, is taking them back, okay. But in some cases, you just need to, you just can't throw them away. I said,
Hasbro, for instance, with the Easy Bake Ovens, they want them because they're going to handle the lead issue.
They want that.
They
want
to handle the lead issue.
Yeah.
Oy.
Yeah.
What a mess.
So I think we need to laugh now.
Do you think let me ask you.
Okay.
Do you think we're overly worried, or do you think this really is a problem?
I think it's a problem, and I think
you don't think
it
it's a case
a
of us being like, oh, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. I think maybe we are. I think it's a We live in a different world. I think yes, we're more.
I mean, we had lead paint
on
the wall when I was growing up.
That's true, but now we know about it, and I think maybe some people are overreacting, maybe, but I do think. I haven't personally gotten my children tested for lead poisoning. You can, but I haven't.
Well, if they're for poison, is there anything you can do?
Yeah, you can leach it out in like a Kaylee something or other.
Oh, there's something you can do.
Yeah, there is something
you
can do.
Well, I guess, I remember the radon. Remember radon? You might be too young to remember that.
No,
that everybody
was just in your house. And
you had these radon detectors. You put them in the basement. Oh, my God, there's radioactive gas in my basement.
Yeah.
It's almost as if now we don't want any risks in our life at all. I mean, and I guess if you can get rid of risks, it's a good thing.
Right. I mean, and I think, I just think that U.S. companies should be better about checking. And I think, because most of these toys are from China, but it's still like, they're U.S. companies that are selling them.
Right.
So I wish that they would be more, I want them
test
to be more
them before they sell them.
Yeah. And we sent our trains back. We got one train back for, the Thomas the Trains. That was the first one that started all this.
There's too many of these all of a sudden. It's not right.
Yeah. It does seem like there are a lot, but maybe we're just paying more attention to him. Who knows? Okay. I need to be uplifted. Do you?
I need to be uplifted as well.
Okay. I found this spectacular video.
There's nothing funnier than babies eating lemons.
Babies eating lemons.
Is this one guy? How did he come? Where did he get all these babies eating lemons?
I think that's a common thing that people upload on YouTube.
Oh, so he just found these?
Yeah, they're just little clips
on YouTube. Now I could play it, but it's a Beatles song, and I don't want to get sued.
Oh yeah.
And frankly, the music doesn't do anything because you really have to see the babies eating the lemons.
You probably all try this with your child. I know I have.
It's hard not to laugh.
Yeah, it is.
Now, do you think this is abusive? No.
No.
It's just funny. The little kids are eating. Whoa, what the heck was that, Daddy? That thing is yellow and pretty, but oh, yuck. See, I could do some soundtrack.
You could, yeah.
It could be, you know, like that like that movie.
We will put
Look Who's
the link
Talking
in the show.
Oh,
so you
wow, lemon! Yikes!
Enjoy this as much as Leo is.
Or I'll just narrate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's what you do. Okay, ready? Start the video now.
Oh, lemons! Yuck! Yuck, 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 yuck. Ooh, ooh.
All right, that's enough of that.
That was excellent.
I could still, really look at that kid. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's actually 30 minutes long.
Makes me want to have another baby so I could start feeding him lemons.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, Louise. That's pretty funny.
It's much more funny than just one baby eating a lemon.
You should watch this video. Babies eating lemons.
Yeah. All right. The last link of the day is Play Activities, and it's play-activities.com. And this is also from a listener. She started this. You can sign up to get a daily activity that you can do with your child sent to your email box.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And activities are simple. And, you know, each one explains the kind of skills, like gross motor skills or, you know, whatever. You know, and it's been very interesting.
Tell them the age of the kid?
No. Mm-mm. But, I mean, they get sent to your email, which I really like. And it's like, I'm not interested. I just, you know, delete it. And I have used...
So give me some examples.
One we did was spaghetti pictures. So we took, like, you just made some spaghetti and then used construction paper and then it sticks. You don't need glue or anything.
Oh, that's
like
fun.
So that you have no children eating glue. Like they just,
right.
We had this big pile of spaghetti and they just took it and made like different designs.
Oh,
and,
I bet they loved
yeah.
that.
Yeah, really interesting. And, you know, simple, like little ones. Some days it's little rhymes that you can do or just, you know, colors and, you know, suggestions of with chalk. It's really interesting. I really like it because I find a lot of, you know, blogs that have activities, but then I can't find them when I really need it. But now they're just in my email. And if I need something, then I just look it up and I'm like, oh, yeah, we're totally bored. We can do this now.
There's a site for grownups is kind of like this called Daily Candy.
Oh, yeah.
You get in your email a little bit of daily candy, free like fashion, food and fun stuff. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
Amber and I had this great idea, but I needed a Canadian to implement it. I wanted to do a site called Daily, your daily action item, DAI.ly.
Why did you need a Canadian?
Because the .ly domain is Liberia, and they don't like us in Liberia.
Oh,
ever since the whole thing with Gaddafi.
Right.
So I thought maybe a Canadian, they might like Canadians. So I asked her to contact the Liberian registrar.
And did she?
She was never heard from again.
That's not the truth.
Sad. But I thought it was a good idea, the daily action item, daily, DAILY. But
yeah.
I thought I'd have like people like Merlin Mann and Amber and just a bunch of smart people.
Wait, you didn't include me on that
you,
one?
No, absolutely you. Because
a bunch of smart people.
Yeah,
oh, right.
No, you too. No, smart people and you.
Okay,
that's getting worse. Because, you know, you would, and then like Merlin would have like, okay, here's your getting things done thing for the day. And then tomorrow... You could do here's a fun activity with your kid. It'd be just kind of like a thing you'd get in the...
Yeah.
But anyway. But they've got it better than me anyway. So
yeah.
they figured it out
daily
before I did.
Daily candy.
Daily, no, play activities.
Oh, yeah, play activities. Yeah.
Or daily candy.
Mm-hmm.
Either one. Now, let's get some email.
Yeah, let's hear from you. Okay.
me?
Not you.
You've heard
you,
enough
dear
of me.
Listener.
Yes.
Okay, this is from Nano from San Antonio. He says, I'm a dedicated listener of your show as well as most of the Twit Network shows.
Oh, thank you, Nana.
I would like you both to know that I've been listening to Jumping Monkeys prior to my wife and I getting pregnant in anticipation of our first child.
Oh, this is good. This is homework. Preparation,
right.
Yeah.
We're now in our fourth month of pregnancy, and I'm completely thrilled in utilizing your recommendation and experience. So, yeah, I don't know if we've been around for like 4 months, so I don't know. His child might...
We have.
You know,
let's see, 13 episodes... yeah, that's like 3 months.
Yeah.
Wow. 3.5 months.
Would you like to hear from Richard from Belfast, Northern Ireland?
Do I have a choice? I'd love to hear from Richard.
Okay. She says, I just listened to the interview with Kat Schwartz. She mentions how much she liked her Stokey stroller. I have one too, and it's really fantastic. My daughter, 7 months, loves it because she gets to, sit up high. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the SUV of strollers.
Right, yeah, you get to sit up high and see what's happening. Another Stokey product that I really like is their high chair called Trip Trap. Again, it's an unconventional design. It has no tray. You just push it up to a regular table, and then your baby eats from the same table as everyone else.
Could be good, could be bad.
Yeah. He says, I like it because you feel more involved as a family. So that's,
which is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you have spattered with food, it's right. all part of yeah. the family fun.
Right. That's Stokey, STOKKEUSA.com. Trip Trap.
Trip Trap.
And this is from Suzanne. I'm a mom of two, Ella age 4 and Daniel age 2. My husband is the techno geek of the family. He sets me up with all the gadgets and teaches me how to use them. He downloaded the Jumping Monkeys podcast for me, and I listened during my travels from San Diego to Istanbul the other day. Oh, she listened to 5 episodes.
Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We should make them longer for our intercontinental travelers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She says she's employed as a full-time software instructor travels all around the world.
She's kind of a geek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she says, I would not be able to do this and be a decent mom without a strong support system at home as well as this technology. I'm indebted to my husband for both.
Isn't that nice?
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he set me up with Skype and a portable Logitech webcam so we can video chat for free across the globe. She talks about a lot of technology. She doesn't use a BlackBerry, but my phone does sync with the Exchange server for work. I travel with 2 iPods, a Nano with Nike Plus for the treadmill.
Wow, good for her.
And a 60 gigabyte video to catch up on my favorite TV shows. Oh. And she says, I just signed up for Twitter. I told my husband he's getting his geeky all over me.
Well, I hope she'll go to momsrising.org and sign up there too and get the DVD.
Yeah.
Show some mothers in Istanbul.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's really, it was so good to have Joan on, and
yeah,
it reminds us, I mean, there's a long way to go still
and
making our society equitable. And, I hope that, everybody gets involved. I think that's great.
Yeah.
We all have mothers if we aren't mothers ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's momsrising.org. Do you want to talk about our phone number again?
Yes, I do. You can call us and leave a message. By next show, we should have people going, hello, this is Joe, and I would like to say 707-981-4602. And that'll go in our, that's actually, we're using Grand Central from Google.
Hmm.
And then you leave a message there. It goes in our email box, and it'll be so easy for us to incorporate it in theory into the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Megan, it's been a great pleasure. It was so fun talking to you, so fun talking to Joan, and I, as always, look forward to next week, another great show.
Alrighty.
We'll see you next time on Jumping Monkeys.